نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الى اخر الايه في مقام اخر ان اولياءه الا المتقون ايضا في مقام اخر من يطع الرسول فقد اطاع الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته The verses which I have just recited, they are from three different places. The first verse which I recited, this is specifically about the fasting. And in that verse, Allah Ta'ala explains the reasoning why Allah Ta'ala has made fasting an obligation. The last two verses which I recited, that tells you how to achieve those objectives which Allah Ta'ala has explained. First thing that you must understand in principle, all ibadat, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, all ibadat which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, they are not objective by themselves. They are means to achieve something. That's why each of the ibadat, each of the things which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed has got its own objective, has its own method, what are you going to achieve. Man-made explanation about Ramzan, for example, that you feel hunger and how do poor people feel about it, that's a man-made explanation, has nothing to do with what Quran says. And Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has made such a month of barakat that the whole environment is so conducive to avoid sin, that Allah Ta'ala has put into this month and not so many other months. When the month of Sha'ban used to come, the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be in a state of ecstasy, started fasting. And the Sahaba, they used to follow the same. The hadith will say that when the month of Shaban came, and as they are nearing to the month of Ramzan, the hadith verse says, in Kabbu al-Masahib, that is the Sahaba, they used to fall with their faces on the Quran. It means that they be reading the Quran all the time. And it is understandable that the Quran or Ramzan has got a very special relationship with the Quran, because it is in the month of Ramzan the Quran was revealed. And that's why Rasulullah and the Sahaba also, the one of the main ibadat of the month of Ramzan is recitation of the Quran. And the Taraweeh that we have is also for the same reason. It's called Qiyam al-Layl, that is you stay in the night. It's really unfortunate thing here I see in South Africa. It is spreading in other places also, one night Taraweeh, two night Taraweeh, three night Taraweeh, 10 night Taraweeh, 5 para, 7, 10 para. That defeats the objective. I mean, no matter what you like to say, this is an invention which has come from India and Pakistan, where the rich landlords, they used to invite or employ a hafiz to read the three night or ten night or something, and he will make the namaz, the Isha namaz with him, with the hafiz sahab. Then he will sit down on the couch and smoking hookah, and the Taraweeh goes on for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Anything objective has been achieved. That's not the objective. What do you understand, Alamun Talamun, what do you understand about this? So rushing for what? Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Rattilil Quran Tartila. read Quran in such a way, nice way, easy way that you understand. Naturally, everybody does not understand. But those who know Arabic, they will understand. But even those who know Arabic, they will have difficulty understanding in such a rapid reading if you are doing like this. So the idea really is that is the this month, Ramadan month, Rasulullah has says, the Shahr Ramadan is Shahr al-Sabr. The month of Ramadan is the month of Sabr. Sabr means, does not mean really you have no other choice but to accept what it is. Sabr really means, that is, whatever difficulties are in the way, you face it, endure it, and continue to do the good work that you are doing. This is called sabr. And if you are withholding yourself, you're struggling yourself to withhold yourself from eating, from drinking, from sin, that's sabr. In namaz, it is sabr. Roza is a sabr. So everything that you got there is a sabr that you have withhold yourself. And therefore the purpose of the, like, namaz Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Inna Salatan Hanil Fahshayal Munkar, that the Salat stops a man, a Muslim, from committing evil and acts of indecency. Because that is the time when you are in dialogue directly with Allah Ta'ala. That's why Allah Ta'ala Rasulullah says, the Salat Miraj al Mu'mineen. The Salat is Miraj al Mu'mineen in the sense that like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam achieved the nearness of Allah through his Miraj, physical Miraj. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy, has allowed to share the mercy with the mu'mineen by way of namaz, which is in dialogue with Allah Ta'ala. In other words, that must have an effect, an impact on our life. If it is not having an impact on our life, if it is not stopping us from committing acts of indecency, then we are defeating the purpose. There is something wrong with our salah. Likewise, the month of fasting. The Allah Ta'ala has explained four things. Number one, Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you achieve taqwa. I'll come back to what taqwa is really. Then what is the means of achieving the taqwa? How do you do that? What is the methodology? Allah Ta'ala says that the count of the fasting must be completed. The count, 30 days that you must complete. Like in an antibiotic course, you've got 10 days, 5 days, 3 days, 5 days. If you take more, then you've got no effect. If you've got less, there's no effect. Can something there. So therefore, that count must be complete. And also, لَتَكَبْرُلَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, so that you glorify Allah Ta'ala, make takbir for Allah Ta'ala, for the hidayat that Allah Ta'ala has given you. That is the Islam and the teaching that Allah Ta'ala has sent down, that you must do that. Again, takabbarullah can take many forms. One of them is the recitation of the Quran, nafal, namaz, all of these things. In other words, you can constantly glorifying Allah Ta'ala. Then, la'allakum tashkurun, so that you be grateful to Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Ta'ala has granted you. Look at Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Previously, in the previous communities, Roza was 24 hours. The Jews, they had 24 hours. But look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. If I had made you 20 hours, 30 hours, what would have done? Allah Ta'ala's mercy has allowed that, alright, you do it from morning to evening, and then you have iftar, night is free, you eat whatever you want to eat, the next morning there. So in other words, Allah Ta'ala has provided you with that easier way to deal with this thing. I'm just asking for you, look for those people who, in India and Pakistan, if you go there, not Pakistan, so much India, among the Hindus, the Amaran Bharat, you fast until your death, something like that. It has no purpose, but nevertheless. So Allah Ta'ala has prescribed this. And the main thing is Allah Ta'ala has said in Islam, that is, خَرُ الْأُمُورَ أَوْسَطُهَا, that is, it is medium way, balanced way, not the extreme. You don't have to go into foot of the mountain, and spend days and days and days in order to achieve something. Allah Ta'ala does not stop you from doing any normal thing that you do in the month of Ramadan, except that you avoid sin. Now, what is taqwa then? This is what Allah Ta'ala is talking about. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so they achieve taqwa. Now, in English, it's difficult to translate, like, check exact meaning that it is. The best translation is really to be consciousness of Allah's presence all the mind in all the time. 24-hour presence of Allah in your mind, in your conscience. Because if Allah Ta'ala is present in you, that's why there is a hadith which says that when a mu'min, he commits an adultery, he is not a mu'min. If he commits a theft, he is not a mu'min. What does it mean? It means that at the time when you committed that wrong, at that time the presence of Allah was not in your mind, that's why you did it. Therefore our sense of accountability was not at that level, we could have stopped you from doing this. And this is wrong. So Allah Ta'ala, through the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan month is such a way that alhamdulillah a Muslim, a mu'min, is almost in 24-hour situation like angels. You are conscious almost 24 hours. If you count the hours, you start with the sahri, sahur. Then you are fasting. Then you are coming to iftar. Then you are making the taraweeh. And then immediately you go to sleep. And then you start. So almost 24-hour situation is such a way that you are willingly always aware of your obedience to Allah Ta'ala for what you are doing it. And you are not doing it just as Hadith Rasulullah says, okay, people who fast and they're just fasting and committing evil or not stopping from committing, for them it is nothing but their hunger. They're hungry. Or they stand in the night, but the thing is they just remain awake and that's all about it, nothing more than that. Now taqwa means to avoid sin. This is the main thing. This is what it is. And avoidance of sins can be if your level of consciousness of Allah's presence in your mind is high. The more the moment your guards are down, you are open to danger. That's why the hadith which says, because this world is full of temptations, all kinds of temptations. And the time that we are going through is worse at the moment. The all types of temptation, all kinds of evils, all kinds of things are there. And we are living, forget about the South Africa or non-Muslim countries, even Muslim countries. Take Pakistan or take Egypt or North Africa, anywhere for that matter, you take it. The evils, all the haram things are permitted there. They got the drinking, they got the dancing, they got the all kinds of acts of indecencies are there. The environment is not there. In the non-Muslim countries, even more free. They do behind the parda, behind the curtain, here they do openly. But it's not done. How to avoid that? Now it's a big thing. And the invention, the scientific inventions which are coming every day, TV came there, then the computer came there, then the cell phone came there, and it's keep on going. And our youngsters are involved. Forget about youngsters, our adults are involved into all of these things. They don't know how to control themselves into this. And therefore, the achievement of taqwa means, as the hadith says, that is, حجبت النار بالشهوات حجبت الجنة بالمكاره. کہ جہنم کا راستہ جو ہے, the path leading towards the جہنم is full of temptations on the way, which attracts you, and therefore you fall for it. A very easy way to go through. There is no struggle. You fall for it. And then you make excuses. Allah Ta'ala is Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is forgiving. Well, it doesn't matter. It's only one day we'll make tawbah or something like that. So hadith said, which rightly said, that the path to the Jahannam is laid with temptations, all kind of temptations. On the other hand, the path towards the Jannah is laid with difficulties and hurdles. You have to cross hurdle by hurdle, hurdle by hurdle. You know hurdle race? If it's a free race, you can run. For hurdle race, you have to cross each hurdle. So it is we have to cross each hurdle. And the crossing that hurdle is jihad, is a struggle. This is what Allah Ta'ala says. So Ramzan, Roza is also a jihad if you are avoiding your temptations. Hadith says, many places Hadith says, if somebody, if you are in India, in Pakistan, it's a common blame on those who are fasting, if they are fighting or doing something. They will say, Kabai, don't talk to him, isko roza laga hua hai. He got a roza, means he's hungry, he's fighting. And Hadith says, if somebody gets involved with you, want to argue, say, Alhamdulillah, I'm fasting, I don't want to get involved into argument. It's a sabr. You're holding back yourself. So the thing is, this taqwa actually means to avoid sin. And how you avoid sin? The verse I recited just now, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is obeying Allah ta'ala. Carte blanche. Doesn't say ifs and buts. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ. Whoever obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he obeys Allah ta'ala. In other words, Allah ta'ala, in other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing things, explaining things which Allah ta'ala has asked him to explain. And you do what he has done. In other words, you follow the path that is done. This is what it is. If you go to, I don't know anyone of you would have gone, but in Karachi, our chef at Hakim Akhtar Sahib Khanqah, there is a couplet written there, remind you all the time what it says. And very, very simple, but very nicely put, what exactly almost the translation of this, what I have just given you. Naqshe Nabi hai jannat ke raaste. Naqshe Nabi hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That is the footstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the path which lead to the jannat. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That is, the path or the way of sunnat takes you to Allah Ta'ala directly. And this is true. Because I think, all of us, we say we love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the durood says, we make the durood, or salam, there. But that's not enough. Because this is your word, what you are saying. The actual test is how much you follow. How much you say. Don't get involved into ifs and buts, this hadith is kamzor, this hadith is weak, this hadith is thing. They leave it to those who deal with this. It's small, small sunnah. Start with small, small sunnah. You enter into the masjid, you make a dua. You get out of the masjid, you make a dua. You enter in the house, you make a dua. You go to the toilet, you make a dua. You come out of the toilet, you make a dua. It's small, small sunnah. And the more you do it, then you get to the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as such. This is what it means really. And if this is the case, Allah Ta'ala then says, in awliyahu lil muttaqoon. Allah Ta'ala says, who are Allah Ta'ala's friends? Allah Ta'ala ka dost kaun? We say waliullah. Waliullah means Allah's friend. Who is all friend of Allah? So friend of Allah Ta'ala says, in awliyahu lil muttaqoon. Jo taqwa wale hain, those who are the people of taqwa, they are the friends of Allah. Now, if that is the case, so wouldn't you like to be friend of Allah? If that is the case, wouldn't we like to follow what Rasulullah has said? Rasulullah received the instructions and then he recited them and then he explained them and he did it himself and the Sahaba did themselves. That's how the deen has reached us. The Sahaba did not read the deen through books. Sahaba learned the deen. Sahaba learned how to be muttaqi. The how to be muttaqi, how to do this, they are practical implications. They are not theoretical implications. But in order to follow the practical implication, adopt that, you need a teacher to tell you how to do it. Not theory. It's a theory everybody knows. As I often say, even a 10-year-old boy knows how to make namaz. But does he get the objective of namaz? We often at our homes, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, the children, we make them fast. and they also get up in the sehri the attraction and they make fast. But do they achieve the objective of the fast? It is. So adults are normally supposed to achieve the objective. And if that is the case, then you need a teacher to teach. Now, for this Allah Ta'ala again explains how to do that. Very easy. In our worldly matters, everyday matters, in your games, in your professions, everything, don't you have practical training? Don't you know the in all the games, you've got cricket team going on at the moment, or hockey or football or whatever, why do you need a coach? Doesn't the bowlers know how to bowl? Don't they know how to bat? You need a coach. For what? Because that coach tells you what mistake you are making. You think you are doing right, but it may not be right. And coach will tell you the final points, how to achieve it, how to achieve that objective. Likewise, in the deen also, which has two sides, of course. One is the outward thing. Other is the inside. Everything has got an outside and has got inside. A zahir and batin. Internal and external. Every ibadah has got an external aspect, has got an internal aspect. External aspect is easy to achieve. The most difficult part is the internal part. That is the difficulty part. Externally, you can exhibit yourself what you are not. It's quite easy. Lots of people do this. Those people who cheat and things like this, what they do? They come in a good garb. They do that. So therefore, to exhibit your external aspect, it is much easier. But it is the internal aspect which is the most difficult. And Islam emphasis is on the internal aspect which must reflect in your external aspect. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. لَا تَقْبُلْ فَوَائِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مَا بَطَنْ. Do not go even near. Forget about doing something. Don't even go near the acts of deficiencies which are open and which are hidden. So the open you can avoid yourself. But hidden, how do you avoid yourself? And therefore, whatever it is, the fact is that you need somebody to tell you. But in order to achieve that, you must first recognize that I don't know. I am sick. You will not go to a doctor unless you recognize that you are sick. But if you go to a doctor, start doing your own doctor, tell me which doctor, a surgeon, for example. Have you heard any surgeon who operating on himself and take out his kidney? Or transplant something, he needs somebody else to do that. So therefore, the easiest part, which is the most difficult part, is everybody knows. So the internal source are as important or more important than the external source. So how do you put ointment on the internal source? How do you do that? And this is what it is. What is the objective of all of this thing that we are talking about? How do we fare in the final judgment, the day of judgment? How do we do that? How do we achieve that? This is what all about. This dunya that we are living there, 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80 years, 90 years, whatever the years are. What did we send there in store for the future? That's why the kuffar will say in the qiyamah, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. I wish I would have sent something there for the storage there. There's a couplet which Hakim Sahib often has mentioned this in his majlis. Maulana Patel Sahib also, I'm sure he must have mentioned, there's a couplet from my father. Very simple. But that explains the situation about what I'm talking about, Ramzan, or all the ibadat. The objective, end result of that is that when we die, what happened then? We are accountable. As Hakim Sahib says, very nicely he said, and this is true, just think about it. Read in the Surah Yasin, all the places also Allah Ta'ala says, in the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will put a seal on our mouth, on our tongue. Who will give evidence? Our hands, our feet, our skin. Forget about the thing, our skin. Going to give evidence against us. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, what a stupidity and foolishness that we are carrying our evidences and witnesses among with ourselves and we are doing things. Which thief will or robber will do with an evidence against him? And therefore, the couplet which says, very simple, Hayate doroza ka kya aish o gham, Hayate doroza ka kya aish o gham, Safar ka bhi kya jaise taise rahe, means, what does it matter really for 2 days of life of this world? Because in a state of travel, you are crossing this, going somewhere else. So in the state of travel, you don't but worry about your comfort, about your sofa, about your bed. Remember a few years ago when you people used to go for Saudi Arabia for Hajj, how many hours you have to wait at the airport, this way, that way. Or if your flight is cancelled, everything. At the airport, who asks, who demands for nice sofa, nice thing? Some people, you go to Dubai, you see people on the floor, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, doesn't matter, after that we'll reach there. So for two days of life in this world, what does it matter really? Whether you are comfortable or uncomfortable, it makes no difference. Suffer the traveling, you don't much care about it. You face all kinds of difficulties in your travel. Why? Because your eyes is on the end result that you are going to reach home, you're going to do a hotel or wherever you will rest there. So hayate daroza ka kya hai shugam, safar ka bhi kya hai jaise taise rahe. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. We have lived this in this world this way or that way, what does it matter really? But we have to see how we have performed there at that place where we have got, all of us are going. So the purpose really is, and this is the month of Ramadan, which is conducive in order to create in you that potential, that power to avoid sin, because you have had the practice of doing this. So the idea is what you have achieved in this month of Ramadan, you should be able to do 24 hours for the rest of the month also at the same time. Now, in order to avoid sin, Hazrat says, for example, it is very easy for you to make tahajjud. We get a pasari, you can make tahajjud. You are making 20 rakat of taraweeh, you can make 40 rakat if you want to. You can make wonderful. People who make finish the Quran in 3 days, or 1 night, or 10 days, what they're doing, same thing. It's easy for them to do that. But to avoid temptations, not to commit sin, not to cheat, not to lie, not to commit act of decency, not to be proud, not to be anger, not to hurt anybody, this is difficult. But not impossible. And therefore, in order to achieve that, you have to go through hurdles. And you have to hold the finger of your teacher who will make you cross the hurdle. How to go about it. You are lucky, alhamdulillah, to have got Maulana Patel Sahib here, and other places, other people are here. Whomsoever, that's not the issue. But whomsoever it is, but you must examine and check that he is living the life of the Sharia, that is important. That is not that, we have got the Milad, we have got this, but not making the Zuhar Namaz. So that's not the right thing to do. And therefore, I really convey to you the message, each one of you, and I'm sure Maulana Patel Sahib must be doing this also at the same time, that you must take yourself to somebody with whom you can attach yourself, so that you have that practice to do that. Because you have got children, you have got family, you have got friends, and the society which you have to build. It is your responsibility. The old men people will die, go away. It is the younger people who have to take the responsibility. So therefore, it is your responsibility to go the upright way, so that you may be able to pass this to the next generation as it is. You see, we make our namaz. I take a very small example. That example is so small, so insignificant. Come to think of it, it is really not much of a consequence. in our namaz, in our salat, when we make the tashahud, when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we lift up our finger. It is such a small act, such an insignificant act in the sense that if you don't lift up your finger, that does not invalidate your namaz. Namaz is valid. But look at the sahaba and look at the community. For the last 1500 years, that how that small act of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been conveyed through generation and generation and generation has come to us. And we are conveying it to somebody else. So if a community could pay attention to such an insignificant act, why couldn't they preserve the bigger thing? Certainly they did. And therefore it is our responsibility to follow that, and whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same admonition and nasihat. And if you have understand, if you have understood, then follow that and take it to the next stage and to the people as such, and make dua for me and for yourself. Now this is the month, this is the period of Maghfirat has started. Next will be the avoidance of the hell. If you are able to achieve that objective through this, then you did it. If not, then we have failed. And if you have failed, the consequences are much more severe than we think about it. The shaitan is always there, all the temptations are there, but to avoid temptations and do what Allah Ta'ala has asked, that requires your courage. You see, after the evil, a robber, he seeks the company of whom? Robbers. Thief, look the company for the thief. Drug addict, look the company of drug addicts. So therefore Allah Ta'ala tells you, ke ya ayyuhal amanu kunu ma sadiqin, taqullaha kunu ma sadiqin, ke o iman walo, o people of iman, keep the company of good people. This is where you will learn. And therefore keep the company of good people in order to achieve the objective which the month of Ramzan wants to convey to this. Whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same information. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala accept our roza and our sincerity, our ikhlas, and to give us that ikhlas, give us that consciousness of Allah's presence so that we may avoid sin. And we are able to convey this to our family, to our children, to our friends, our wives, our society, everything else that we do about the Waqir of Dawn Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Marana Muhammad wa ala azwaji wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وصلى الله تعالى خير خلقه محمد وعلى ازواجه وصحبه بارك وسلم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.